So our topic of good finding, since we've talked about some interesting subjects here, I want to come back to the topic of good finding and do a kind of an overview of what that really is about. There are three parts to the good finding practice, and the first is gratitude, which is really a focus on the past. When I first started doing this talk, I used gratitude, appreciation, and optimism kind of interchangeably as if they had the same meaning. But I started thinking about those, and they really don't. Gratitude is about things that have already happened. We're grateful for things that have already occurred, so it's really more of a past focus. And while we also appreciate those things that have happened in the past, appreciation is really more about the present, about what's happening right now. So gratitude would be a focus on the past, appreciation is a focus on the good things in the present, and optimism is about the future. Now, what's beautiful about that particular three-part process is it gives us a new default program for our brain. The natural default mechanism for our problem-solving brain, you remember I started out saying we have problem-solving brains, is to look at the past problems, look for evidence of those problems in the present, and try to anticipate future problems. And that is a guaranteed prescription for stress and anxiety, not to mention depression, anger, irritation. So this gives you a new default mechanism. And by the way, I'll tell you that personally, I have been doing this for a couple of years now. I'll talk about the journaling here in a few minutes, but there's a journaling process where you write about what you're grateful for from the past, what you appreciate about the present, and what you're looking forward to in the future that actually creates a new default mechanism so that your normal mental process becomes positive. That is the essence of our topic today, is for you to create a more positively focused mental process as your default mechanism. So your automatic way of dealing with life is from that perspective. That doesn't mean you ignore problems. It means you bring a positive attitude to the resolution of those problems. So good finding is the practice. It's the active use of gratitude, appreciation, and optimism. So let's look at each of those, gratitude, appreciation, and optimism, and break down some of the components and research related to each one. There's a book called Thanks, How the Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier by Dr. Robert Emmons that found that grateful people express more positive emotions, experience more life satisfaction, more vitality, and more optimism, and have lower levels of stress and depression. Now, if there was a new pill on the market that could promise all of that, would somebody be raking in the dough? You bet. There isn't. If any medication does promise you that, be very skeptical and make sure you listen to that voice telling you about all the side effects. So the good news here is this comes from inside you as a result of being grateful. Isn't that interesting? Look at those benefits. He found also that keeping a gratitude journal for 3 weeks improved sleep quality and duration, added to more. Anybody want more energy? Anybody want to sleep better, longer? How about more time exercising? Try it. Test his research. Do your own experiment. Keep a gratitude journal for 3 weeks and see if you get any of those benefits. Better sleep quality and duration, more time, more energy, and more time exercising. Just from writing what you're grateful for in a journal, I would recommend in the morning. Later on, you get too busy and you're not likely to do it. First thing in the morning for 3 weeks. Since the gratitude is about focusing on your past, and let's look at your story. We talked about how there's a story behind your various emotional states. When you look at your past, what have you learned? Positive and negative. What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about the world around you? And out of that, what do you want to keep? How many of you have learned you can do anything you set your mind to? A few of us. That's probably a very common affirmation that a lot of people receive. How many of you have learned you can't carry a tune, you're not very creative? Unfortunately, a lot of us got that one too. Throw that one out, by the way. Human nature is creative. It's nothing to do with impressing other people. It's nothing to do with selling your art. It is all about breaking new ground. It's about doing something a different way without instructions. That's what creativity is. We are naturally creative, so do not accept any statements, any negative beliefs about your creative nature. You are naturally creative, and it's extremely beneficial for you to find creative forms of expression. So keep only, and here's a radical suggestion I want to make to you. Any positive beliefs you have about yourself are true. Any negative self-limiting beliefs you have about yourself are simply a result of the things that have happened to you. And in most cases, they're not true. Anything positive that you believe about yourself is true. Any negative beliefs, any self-limiting beliefs that you have are a result of what happened to you, what you were told, confusion about experiences you had. And my experience has been that almost every one of them is completely untrue. Now, I happen to know I'm not going to be an astronaut. I don't actually particularly consider that to be a self-limiting belief. You know, I don't want to be an astronaut. So there are some negative statements or self-limiting beliefs that make sense that are not getting in your way. But those that have to do with your health and your happiness and your ability to create a meaningful, fulfilling life with wonderful relationships, clear those out of your way. They don't do you any good. So look at what you've learned from your past experiences. When you decide to write about these past difficult experiences, traumatic experiences, ask yourself, what did I conclude from this? And out of that, what do I want to keep? What has helped to make you who you are today? We are formed and shaped by our life experiences. So think about that. What are the formative experiences? A lot of that has to do with role models. Who are your best teachers and guides? And take time, because we're doing gratitude here, take time to write what you're grateful for to those people who have guided you, supported you, and helped you along your way. Honor those relationships. And if they're still alive, after you've done that, go and tell them face to face. And who loved you unconditionally? Usually we can count those on one hand, because unconditional love is just not something we're that good at as human beings. Dogs are good at it, but humans have a lot of trouble with it. Usually it's grandparents, aunts, uncles. Occasionally we're fortunate enough to have a parent that we actually consider to have loved us unconditionally. But think about that, because when you got that unconditional love, that love was not based on what you did, what you look like, how you perform. It's based on who you are. That's why unconditional love is so important. So one of the most important messages for you to focus on and to receive and to claim for yourself is that you are good. You're a good person. You're worthy. You're valuable just as you are. Not because you do good things, but because of who you are. And that's what the unconditional love communicated to you. By the way, that will do wonders for your health. You know that shame and self-doubt, negative self-image, is greatly detrimental to the healing process? So loving yourself and finding that you're valuable and worthy, on the contrary, is greatly beneficial to the healing process. So we talked about gratitude for the past. Now we're going to shift to appreciation for the present. I like the phrase, the art of appreciation. It just kind of rolls, doesn't it? So learn make up your mind, if you really want to get into this, make up your mind you want to develop and master the art of appreciation. It's one of the best possible things you could do for yourself. There's a head-to-toe appreciation process where you go from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet, appreciating your physical body and all of its functions. So the head-to-toe appreciation process is really a matter of taking a few minutes to appreciate your physical body. And by the way, what do you think is one of the greatest causes of people not exercising and eating well? Not enough time, don't think they're worth it. That's kind of the one I wanted to focus on. But both of your answers are correct. But I believe that the true inner cause is low self-worth. Because even if you don't have enough time, if you value your health very highly, you'll make time. And you won't give up on yourself. So that sense that I really, and this is the benefit of this appreciation process. You do the head-to-toe appreciation process. You think about how grateful you are for your organs and your muscles and your joints and all of your capacities. You spend time appreciating them. That will raise your value that you hold for your body. Now, when you raise the value that you hold for your body, you're more likely to take care of it. Does that make sense? In the business world, when something appreciates, what does that mean? It goes up in value. So when you appreciate your body, you're raising the value of your body. And I firmly believe that a person with a higher sense of self-worth, who really loves and values their body, is going to take care of it on a more consistent basis. Also, it's a good idea to take time to appreciate your relationships, your efforts and accomplishments. So it's like the inner and the outer here. Focusing on your loved ones, community, even humanity. It's a good idea to think about humanity in an appreciative way. And again, back to the mental diet, a lot of what we get through the news media is negative about humanity. Don't accept that view. The fact is that that's the report of the exceptional. The fact of what's happening in humanity is most people are good people doing the right thing most of the time. That's not in the news. Appreciate your possessions and your wealth. It's a good idea, right? If you appreciate them, you value them more, maybe you'll take better care of them. You value what you have and you'll take better care of it. When you express and feel appreciation, it raises the value that you have for yourself and your world. Do it for you. And look at what happens to your heart. This is a chart from the Institute of Heart Math in California, and it shows consistently that when people are in a state of frustration, their heart rate is jagged and irregular. And when people are in a state of appreciation, the heart rate is rhythmical and smooth and regular. How much of your life do you spend frustrated? How much of your life do you spend tense, irritated? How much of your life do you spend in a mode of appreciation? This goes back to my recommendation. Master the art of appreciation and your heart will thank you. Now moving on to optimism, we've talked about gratitude for the past, appreciation for the present, now optimism about the future. First, I want to tell you about the results of a 15-year study done at the University of Harvard, or Harvard University, that shows that people with optimism, again, if there was a pill on the market that could offer this, somebody would be getting very wealthy. Optimism, people who are optimistic experience superior health, greater achievement, more persistence, better emotional health, increased longevity, and less stress. Pretty profound results, right?